You may remember the excitement and the satisfaction of teaching a French or Italian kid a few words of English, of watching them grow strong and healthy on army rations, their fierce loyalty to the outfit, the pride with which they wore the cut-down uniform with the sergeant's stripes on the sleeve. The same thing has been happening in Korea. But finally, the time came when a lot of men in the 1st Cav Division were due to leave for home on rotation. That produced what was called Operation Mascot. A chaplain of the 1st Cavalry, standing in that battered school building in Seoul, explains the problem.
These youngsters, in rags, dirty, undernourished, the boys felt for. And in many cases, they took off their shirt or put a blanket around them and took care of them. The men are getting rotated now. They're going back to the States. They don't have a chance to take them with them. I mean, you can't just put them in your duffel bag, and you can't leave them out in the street either.
A young lieutenant from Colorado brings in a little boy. He's been with the outfit since last November. The lieutenant has collected $275 to pay for his keep in an orphanage in Taegu. The lieutenant explains how they acquired him.
He was ready to move out. He was eating some old sea rations. He'd been living up in a cave when we picked him up. And there we decided to take him on in, brought him some clothes and give him a bath. That was about it.
Another youngster, 3 or 4 years old, is brought in by a GI.
Our patrols out looking for contact the enemy found him in the no man's land. Actually, starved to death. He was in one room of a Korean house, and his mother, apparently, as best we can find out, his mother, was in another room, dead, been dead several days, badly decomposed. The little fellow was practically starved to death. The boys gave him a little sugar out of their rations, a slice of bread. We wouldn't give him too much because I didn't want to make him sick.
A soldier brings in a little girl, about 7, for Operation Mascot. At one time, he tried to leave her at a Korean police station, but he said...
That afternoon it began to rain. I felt a little bit sorry for her and left the division rear, going back to the police station to give her a little blanket or a poncho. Instead, she met me on the way back. I find out she raised so much devilment that they turned her loose.
Many of these kids have no memory of their family or where they come from. Their life and their loyalty are wrapped up in the outfit.
What's your name?
Joe.
Joe, what outfit you in?
7th Cavalry Regiment Headquarters Company.
Attaboy. How old are you, Zach?
10.
10 years old, huh?
Where are you from, Beck?
1st Cavalry Division, 15th Rank of Battalion, Clear Company, 2nd Platoon.
1st Cavalry Division, 15th Medical Battalion, Charlie Company, 2nd Platoon. The Army issue won't fit 6- and 8-year-olds. One platoon solved that problem this way.
They gave him a little uniform. It didn't fit quite well enough. Some of the boys thought, why don't we write to one of these catalog outfits and get him a Hopalong Cassidy suit with a 2-gun pearl-handled pistol.
GI ingenuity can solve most problems.
Where did you get that cowboy outfit?
We got it from Sears and Roebuck in California.
You sent back after?
Yeah.
How do you like that suit? You like it?
Number one.
Number one, huh?
Attaboy. Things don't come any better than number one in Korea. Here's an interview with another Korean cowboy.
What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Where are you from, Benny?
Taegu.
You're from Taegu?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that cowboy outfit?
Go State.
Where?
Go State.
State?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Is that a Hopalong Cassidy outfit?
Maybe.
Maybe. That's a nice gun.
Yeah.
Show me your gun. What kind is it?
Texas Junior. A Texas Junior gun.
It's a Texas Junior. Who's your friend over here?
Jimmy.
How old are you, Jimmy? Come here.
Nine.
You're Jimmy?
Yeah.
How old did you say you were, Benny?
11.
You're 11, huh?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And you fellas good friends?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where are you going now?
Go to school.
You go to school? Good. Can you read?
No, I can read. Go to school. Man, man, I can read.
That's right. You're going to learn to read, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sure. Where's your papa? Where's your GI friend?
He's gone.
Captain Johnson, he's gone. Before the children are sent off to the orphanage in Taegu and the battle-weary soldiers are sent home on rotation, the children must be inoculated. They don't like that needle. Some of the soldiers who have been shot with everything in the book roll up their sleeves and take another one just to prove that it won't hurt. No real parents were ever prouder of those who performed well.
How'd that feel, huh? Did that hurt?
Too hard.
Yeah. Was that too hard?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Okay. Oh, he was a brave boy.
And a little girl who was perhaps not quite so brave.
Okay, said she'll take the shot if I take her to the house. Okay. Ask that little girl. Okay. You take one? Oh, now put your arm up like a good girl.
It's
just a little shot.
No.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
It's all over now.
Troop morale is very important at a time like this. One little fellow who's had his shot strikes up a song to show the others that it didn't hurt a bit.
Shouting good night. Shouting good night. Good night, outing. Good night, outing. I'll see you in my dream.
And if you're in a cavalry outfit, even if you're only 9 years old and a Korean with no home and no family, you must know the old cavalry song.
Out on the lake, she rode at 11. She was for the level for in the cavalry. Cavalry. She was for the level for 70 cavalry.
It's time for the kids to head south for the orphanage in Taegu and for the soldiers to head for the States. Those who were there say that the children weren't the only ones who cried.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, 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 Daddy. Daddy. Bye-bye. Be a good
bye-bye.
Girl.
And just before they left, a young lieutenant brought in a little girl to Operation Mascot. Probably the only arms she remembered had been encased in khaki. Certainly, that uniform represented what she had known of tenderness, understanding, and security. She did not want to let go.
This little girl has been picked up and been following the 3rd Division rear for about 2 months. Her last name is Lee. I don't know her full name. I have it written down here. It's all right, baby, son.
Okay.
Obviously, she doesn't want to leave you.
Sit down.
You come back.
Huh?
Okay.
Here, baby, Don. Have some candy.
You come back.
Listen, you stay here. We'll come by and see. Tomorrow.
That was part of what we recorded of Operation Mascot. The children will be well taken care of in one of the orphanages in Taegu. They have seen and heard terrible things, but they may grow up in freedom and dignity instead of slavery. That's one of the things this war is about. All armies are brutal, profane, and trained to kill. In the last week, our armies in Korea have practiced their profession with great skill and much glory. They also conducted Operation Mascot. That, too, was of some importance, beyond the call of duty, and in the best tradition of troops who value the lives of little children while being willing to spend their own so freely.
The men are getting rotated now. They're going back to the States. They don't have a chance to take them with them. I mean, you can't just put them in your duffel bag. And you can't leave them out in the street either.
You have just heard program 24 in the CBS series, Hear It Now, a document for ear based on the week's news. Hear It Now is edited and produced by Edward R. Murrow and Fred W. Friendly, and a CBS staff which includes John Aaron, Jesse Zausmer, Irving Gitlin, Edmund Scott, and Joseph Wershberg. Portions of the program originated at WTOP Washington, WREC Memphis, KDAL Duluth, KFH Wichita, WGAR Cleveland, KSL Salt Lake City, WMAZ Macon, Georgia, WEEI Boston, and KCBS San Francisco. Combat recordings were made in Korea by CBS correspondent John Jefferson and by Armed Forces radio teams. Operation Mascot was recorded in the field by CBS correspondent Robert Pierpoint. Edward R. Murrow can be heard over most of these CBS stations Monday through Friday at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Olin Tice speaking.